You'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the fourth chapter of John. I asked Keith to sing that song about the woman at the well. I think the official title is Fill My Cup, Lord. But I asked him to sing that because I'm just continuing the series of sermons in John chapter 4. And even though it's Mother's Day, today's sermon falls on the woman at the well. I thank God that if on Mother's Day that all of our women and all of our mothers haven't had the same kind of a past that this lady had. But I also thank God that if you have had the same kind of past that this lady has, God has us an amazingly wonderful future that we can have in Jesus Christ. Amen. What an amazing story. I'm going to preach, and I wrote a couple things down for Kara to put up there for something of a title to today's sermon. And the amazing joy-filled life for you is certainly what this text is about. There is an amazing, wonderful, beneficial life for you no matter what your past was like. It's just a beautiful, beautiful promise. I don't know of anything more encouraging for discouraged believers. I mean, you know, you say, well, you know, I just don't feel like my life matters. I don't feel like my life counts. I don't feel like that me being here is significant. I'm going to tell you, there's just an amazing, wonderful, joy-filled hope for you. If your life hasn't been stacking up in the past, doesn't mean it can't. God is so gracious and loving and amazing. And if you're an unbeliever and you think, you know, what good is it that my life even is here? Well, I want to tell you, in Jesus Christ, you can find amazing, wonderful, hope-filled life that you can become one of the biggest blessings for other people imaginable. And so our text, John chapter 4, verse 1 through 26, is a message of great hope. You couple it with two verses in the seventh chapter of John, you will find that God can make you a river of living water. That is a description that God gives us for those of us that are drinking in Christ, those of you that are just desiring to have more and more and more of Christ in you. And you're praying, God, just let your life live through me. Then I want to tell you, your life can become a literal river of hope and life and joy for other people. So, wow, that's just pretty amazing, wonderful promise from the Word of God. Let's read the fourth chapter of John. We're going to read verse 1 through 26. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. Now, verse 4 is significant because of the word he had to. There was a reason, a divine reason, a purpose that Jesus had to go through Samaria. If he didn't go through Samaria, there was a divine appointment that was not going to happen. Now, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria because there wasn't another way to get there. There was another way. That was the closest way, but it was through the Samaritans, which Jews really didn't like to even be around Samaritans. But in order to get to where Jesus was going, he had to go through Samaria. But it was not because there wasn't another way to get there. It was because there was someone there that Jesus wanted to bring to faith in himself. So the had to is because of the woman at the well. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, around noontime. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." I want to tell you something. The hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans was almost unparalleled. You could not get more animosity. You could not get more ill feelings. You could not get more ill treatment between two groups of people than existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. They hated one another. They reveled in their hatred toward one another. They looked for opportunities to make the other ones resent them even more than they already resented them. The Samaritans built a place to worship on Mount Gerizim. And the reason they built it there was to despise the Jews who worshiped in Jerusalem. Now, folks, these folks didn't like one another. This woman was shocked. She was amazed. She couldn't believe. She would have said, "This will never happen in 1,000 years that a man, Jew, would stop and ask me to drink. He doesn't have a cup. He's going to have to drink out of my cup." And that Jesus was willing to drink from the cup a Samaritan woman would have drank from, my friend, is unheard of unless you're Jesus. Amen. Jesus does a lot of things that are unheard of. Jesus' love for people is just greater than love that other people know anything about. But when we're saved, we ought to have love like Jesus. Amen. We ought to love people that others don't love. We ought to do things for people that others won't do. Folks, listen, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, our lives ought to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus answered her. She couldn't believe that he was asking her. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" She didn't understand at all. She was thinking about physical things. Jesus was talking about spiritual things. She was dead spiritually, and Jesus was offering her real amazing spiritual life, but she just couldn't get it. Then she said, "You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Well, Jesus probably was sitting there thinking, "Well, yeah. You're not greater than our father Jacob. Well, I'm the one that made Jacob. I'm the one that called Jacob. I'm the one that gave Jacob everything he ever had. If you want to say I'm greater than Jacob, well, yeah, that would be right." But she didn't understand that. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now again, she's still thinking about this physical stuff. She's thinking about a river, you know, that just flows there, and Jesus is talking about giving her such an amazing, wonderful, spirit-filled life that is flowing through her, that literally by her life, she can give amazing, wonderful life to other people. Wow, that's our God. Amen. So the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Again, still doesn't get it. And he says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "Sir, I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, you've correctly said that. "I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. And I'm thinking, you know, she's sitting there saying, whoa. This guy knows more about me than I know. Now, evidently, folks, not only had she been married five different times, according to the context of the scripture and the conclusions that are drawn from it, she had probably been unfaithful all five times. Her life was an amazing example of what not to be. But God still loved her. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Folks, this passage is not nearly as much about how bad she is or how bad we are. It's about how gracious our God is. God is so amazingly gracious. You cannot get too bad for God. She said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now she's trying to get off that other subject. I mean, Jesus has found her guilty of sin after sin after sin after sin, and Jesus has found her guilty of still living in sin. And when the Spirit of God begins to convict you or convict me of our sinfulness, we might be kind of like her. Let's go on to another subject. And she knew of a real good controversial subject to try to get him off on. Let's talk about where we ought to worship, in Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem, you know, and that's what she was trying to get Jesus off on. But my friend, when Jesus is setting his sight on redeeming someone, and they're stubborn, and they're sinful, and they're trying to get you off the subject, Jesus doesn't get distracted. I mean, Jesus just stays right on target. Thank God that Jesus didn't get distracted from me when I was trying to forget about him. When he began dealing with me about my sinfulness, I want you to understand something. I was not running to him. He was running after me. And when I found excuses not to come to him, he did not let my excuses win. I thank God for that. And I think God is able to stay after you even when you're running from him. And if you realize today that you've been neglecting him and hiding from him and running from him, you need to thank God that he doesn't quit pursuing you. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. The salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And she believed. Amen. This woman at the well, she was just like a lot of other people. She was living a life of disobedience to God. She was breaking the laws of God one day after another. But she did believe that you ought to go to a place and worship. And probably she went to a place of worship on a regular basis. She was one of the walking spiritually dead. She was walking around. She was spiritually dead and blind and couldn't see. And even though week after week after week she was in a house of worship, she was still spiritually dead and blind. She could argue that you ought to worship in Mount Gerizim, but she was still spiritually blind. There are some people that would argue you ought to be a Baptist, or you ought to be a Presbyterian, or you ought to be something, and they'll go to church on a regular basis and argue for their denomination. But Jesus said, I ain't talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about worshiping the Spirit through the Spirit of God. Are you born again? There's a lot of born again people worshiping God, and there's a lot of people that aren't born again in houses of worship, but they're not worshiping God because they're not born of the Spirit. My friend, in our text, we find Jesus leaving Judea to go to Galilee because there was someone in Galilee that needed him, and he was going to go there so he could find them. There are a lot of people in our town, maybe in this church today, who really do need to be born again. You may go to church, you may not go to church. You may argue about your denomination, or you may not argue about your denomination. But the truth is, there are a lot of people that are religious but lost. And it may be the reason you're here today is by God's divine appointment. God had a divine appointment with this lady. She didn't know anything about that appointment. She was just going to the well to get her a drink. But Jesus was going to be there. If it meant violating what his friends would have told him, if it meant violating all of the customs of the Jews, if it meant doing something nobody else would have dared do, Jesus was not going to miss an opportunity to show this woman his love, that he had died on the cross to save her from her sins, that he had come there in his own person to draw her to himself and say to her, you can have a brand new life. Friend, I want you to know, prior to that day, that woman's life didn't amount to anything. And after that encounter with Jesus, her life meant everything to a lot of other people. All of the people of Samaria that heard her testimony that day, hundreds and hundreds of people heard her testimony that day, and because Jesus had a divine appointment with her, he also had an appointment with a lot more people. I think it's safe to say before that day, she had never influenced anyone to love and serve God. That day, she influenced a whole multitude of people because God loved her. Verse 4 is a key to this passage of Scripture, and he had to pass through Samaria. I've already said it wasn't because geographically there was no other way. What I'm saying is there was no other way for that lady to come to him than for him to go there to her. I like what someone else said, that Jesus was relentlessly gracious. This lady had broken every law that she could break of God. She had disobeyed God. She was part of a group of people who had thrown away all of the Old Testament except the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and they had their own version of that to suit their own needs. My friend, this woman lived a gross life of sin. She rejected the true worship of God. She rejected the Word of God. She did not want anything to do with honest, true worship of God, and God still loved her. And there's a lot of people like that. People do everything they can do not to come to know Jesus, and Jesus still loved them enough to keep on talking to them. Thank God for Jesus. He relentlessly, graciously keeps on coming for people when they don't want him to come. God was seeking her and pursuing her because God wanted her to become a follower of him. Last thing on her mind, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And yet Jesus wanted her to be a follower of him. That's the love of Christ. Now, the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, I've already shared with you, it could not have been worse. You could not find two groups of people that hated the other group of people more than the Samaritans hated the Jews or the Jews Samaritans. She was shocked. I mean, she was just literally shocked when Jesus, sitting there, said, "Ma'am, could I have a drink of water from your cup?" I mean, she'd have said, "This'll never happen in 1,000 years." She didn't even know how amazing it was. The guy that was asking her for a drink knew everything about her. He knew about her infidelities. He knew about all of her marriages. He knew she was living with someone without being married at that time. And I don't care how accepting America has become, God will never, ever, ever accept as okay men and women living together without being married. It's a sin against God. But thank God it's a sin that God will forgive. Amen? Folks, I mean, don't get all high and mighty and self-righteous and point fingers at someone that sinned a sin that you didn't sin. I'm telling you, you're dirty enough. And Jesus knows your dirt too. Just because someone else doesn't know your dirt doesn't mean Jesus doesn't know it. But thank God, even though he knows our dirt, he still loves us. Amen. He still sent his son to die on the cross so you could be forgiven. But she didn't know how much Jesus knew about her until he told her. You know, and she's thinking, well, if he knows all that about me, what else does he know? She probably said, yeah, he knows that too. And he knows that about you too. But even though he knows everything about you, God gave us this story in the Bible so that you could say, oh, wow, he knows everything about me too. He knows what I've been doing. He knows what I've been thinking. He knows how hard I've been trying to deny him and to reject him. And yet, here I am. He's still talking to me. He still loves me. He still cares about me. Friend, I got good news for you. Not only does he love you and care for you and willing to forgive you, he's willing to make you a river of life for other people. I mean, he's willing and able to just say, you know, I'm just to fill you so much with him that you can make a difference in everybody else's life around you. That's our God. See, there's no accidents. It's not an accident that you're here. You're here, my friend, because God wants to give you a richer, fuller, more meaningful life. And if you say no to that, you're here because one of these days, this very moment, this very hour, is going to be treasured up against you. And you're going to suffer the wrath of God for saying no to Jesus today. Not just suffer the wrath of God for all eternity, not just to suffer for all of your other sins, but you're going to suffer because today you chose not to follow Jesus. And the Bible says that we are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and against the righteous judgment of God. God is here offering you eternal life. God is here offering you forgiveness of sins. God is here making, having sent his son to die on the cross. So whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't trust in Jesus, if you don't receive Christ, God is still going to glorify himself through you by the wrath of God that's poured out on you. You see, God is going to be glorified by everybody, some by his grace and some by his wrath. But the story today is this lady that was sinful, that she was hard, she couldn't understand, she tried to change the conversation, she did everything she could not to live for Jesus, and he just kept on giving grace upon grace upon grace. You know, you've been saying no to Jesus for I don't know how many years. You know God could have taken you on into eternity. You could be in hell today. You're talking about grace upon grace? There's no promise. There's no promise God's going to give you another day, but when God does, that's grace upon grace. You really don't want to say no to Jesus. Because God is either pursuing you, pursuing a relationship with you, even though of your past, even though of your previous choices, even though your choices that have even led up today, God has still given his son that if you would believe, you could have eternal life, but you must say yes to Jesus. It's a gift. It's not something you earned. You've earned hell, but he offers himself as a gift. He's offering you a gift of life as opposed to death. Joyful, meaningful, everlasting life that gets better in eternity. It never runs out. It's like a river. It just keeps on flowing. And it makes you into something that you would never be, a river for other people. She was thirsting, as the song sang. She was thirsting for something. She was looking for something. But Jesus is what she needs. And I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you want. I know what you need. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That comes through repentance and faith. I want you to look with me at John chapter 7, two verses. And then I'm going to have to close because I want y'all to have Mother's Day dinner. If y'all are serious about your spiritual condition, you'll just keep coming back to church. Amen. John chapter 7, look at verse 37. Now, I use these verses because they're directly related to this same thing. Jesus told the woman at the well, I said, you know, if you would drink what I offer you, you will have everlasting life. You will become a well. Look at verse 37. Now, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he spoke this of the Spirit. My friend, Jesus offered this woman at the well who was thirsting for sin. She was thirsting for lust. She was thirsting for a relationship with a man. She had all of these physical thirsts. And yet none of it was satisfying. And Jesus offered this woman that was so full of sin, so disreputable, from such a background that nobody else would have even sat down with her. And Jesus said, I've got something for you, and it's me. And I'll forgive you of your sin. I'll save you from your sin, and I'll give you a life that is so full and meaningful, you'll become a river of life for other people. You know, there have been times because of lack of response, because of a slow period of no growth in the church, there have been time and time again that I begin to wonder, God, am I any good anymore? God, is there any purpose for me here anymore? God, I just feel like I'm useless. And I really feel that way. More than you could imagine. But then you read this verse. And God says, if you'll just drink from me, if you'll just drink from me, if you'll just drink from me, I'll make you a river. And my friend, my job is not to sit around and pout. My job is to drink. Just to drink in Jesus. And that's your job as a child of God, to just drink in Jesus. And you'll become a river that other people can draw life from. What is so neat here is if you are a discouraged, defeated child of God, the amazing promise is drink from Jesus. And if you're an unbeliever, lost, sinful person that thinks you're worthless and thinks your life is not going to really mount up to anything significant, and you're just sitting here thinking, why do I even exist? Why am I here? Jesus says, if you'll drink from me, I'll make you into a river. What wonderful hope. Amen? What wonderful hope for anybody. Someone that's been to the bottom of the spiritual drum. You're just down there at the bottom. And Jesus is saying, life that is amazingly wonderful to those who believe. Do you want Jesus and to be a life full of amazing life that'll make you a river? Or do you want to just say no to Jesus and die and go to hell, be separated from God forever, and be one of those that glorify the holy justice of God by burning in hell? And you're the one that decides, amen? You say yes to Jesus or no. Say, well, no, I'm just not going to do that, or I don't believe that. Well, my friend, you will believe it. Which is you? You say, Pastor, thank God he didn't give up on me. Thank God when I turned away from him, he didn't turn away from me. Pastor, today I'm ready to come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. If you'd say, thank God I'm ready to come to Jesus, then why don't you come? Why don't you come and say, Pastor, I've run long enough. He loves me. He died on the cross for me. I want him as my Savior and my Lord. As Miss Karen plays, would you just get up out of your seat and come and say, Pastor, I come to Jesus, guilty, sinful, but I come. I come. I don't know why he still loves me. I don't know why I feel urged today. I don't know why his Spirit has convicted me today. He should have let me go off into hell, but he didn't. And Pastor, thank God he didn't. I'm ready today. Would you come? Is there anyone who would come and say yes to Christ today? What a beautiful song. I surrender all. Just surrender it, folks. Surrender your sin. Come to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope the Spirit of God doesn't withdraw himself from you. I hope he woos you and encourages. I hope you'll soon come to Jesus if you hadn't already come. And if you're discouraged and defeated as a believer, drink from Jesus. Amen.